Up, up, and off the hook.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Lots of great quarterly earnings this morning. Oil giant Shell is raking in the cash. Surprise, surprise. They posted an 18% profit. Shell made a little over $1 billion more than they did last year. Sony said this morning its net profit for the quarter more than doubled. That's thanks to flat panel TVs and cameras, not the PlayStation, which has kept the gaming division in the red. And then there's Apple. Steve Jobs has got to be a happy guy this morning. Yeah, that iPhone did okay, but Apple says record sales of iPods and Macs were what helped it post a 73% increase in quarterly earnings. Shares were up 10% in after-hours trading. Wall Street had an up day itself Wednesday. The Dow closed up 68 points to 13,785. The Nasdaq closed up 8 to 2648. And the S&P closed up 7 to 1518. Lots of lobbying going on right now about something you can't see. Wireless spectrum, a tiny sliver of airwaves to be put on the block next year from the FCC. Verizon weighed in on it Wednesday after Google jumped into the game last week. From Washington, Jeremy Hobson reports.
Potential newcomers to the wireless business, like Google, are supportive of open access. If the full FCC approves the plan, Google is willing to start the bidding at $4.6 billion. Established carriers are against open access. They say they'd pay more for the spectrum without it. Wireless analyst Andrew Siebold says the FCC chairman's proposal would amount to giving Google a government handout.
If Google wants to bid and win, they can do whatever they want with their spectrum, but they shouldn't impose this kind of model on other bidders.
But Bob Williams at Consumers Union says a rejection of the open access proposal would give established wireless providers an edge. Bad for newcomers and consumers, he says.
You know, if the phone companies had their way, we'd still all be using the black rotary dial phones.
He says these big spectrum sales don't come around often, and the airwaves up for sale this time are particularly valuable, because they can travel long distances and penetrate walls. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Today in Washington, the Treasury Secretary hosts a conference to focus attention on why he thinks the corporate tax bite is putting U.S. corporations at a competitive disadvantage. Our D.C. Bureau Chief John Dimsdale has more.
In a report prepared for today's conference, the Treasury Department says U.S. corporations pay among the highest tax rates of all industrialized countries. And that's chasing valuable investments overseas, says Treasury's Robert Carroll.
Perhaps where to locate a headquarters, where to locate a plant and make other investments, the corporate tax rate is material to those decisions.
But another participant in today's conference, Brookings Institution tax expert William Gale, says not all companies pay those high tax rates thanks to a long list of deductions and investment tax credits.
We have very generous treatment of particular sectors, oil, gas, timber, etc., what turn out to be loopholes that end up reducing the effective tax rate on corporate investment.
Get rid of those loopholes, Gale says, and the U.S. could lower the overall tax rate without losing revenue. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America, publictransportation.org. And the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
We hear a lot about outsourcing, of course, but what happens to those faceless workers when their jobs are shipped overseas isn't a follow-up most stories get to. There is a federal program called Trade Adjustment Assistance. It allocates money to send people who lose their jobs back to school. Sounds great. Now changes are being proposed to it. And I talked to economics correspondent Chris Farrell about them.
Oh, it sounds like an absolutely great idea. It's been around since 1962. And what does it do? If you're a manufacturing worker and you lose your job to foreign competition, there's this wonderful program, offers all these benefits that are in addition to, you know, filing for unemployment insurance so that you can get a new job.
That sounds good to me, Chris. What's the problem then?
Well, I think there are a couple of problems. The Trade Adjustment Assistance Program expires in September unless it's continued. Now, this program accounts for 0.03% of federal spending. It's about $1 billion. We spend hardly anything. It's poorly advertised. And by the way, it's concentrated in one sector of our economy, the manufacturing sector of our economy. And in case you haven't noticed, over the past three decades, we basically have become a service sector economy.
Mm-hmm.
And with offshoring, you know, of all kind of call centers and other types of service sector jobs, there's a lot of job loss going on in the service sector, which is what Congress wants to expand it. That sounds like a good thing. This is Congress. It's become controversial.
But what is it that Congress wants to do in expanding this program that's controversial? Is it simply just spending more money on it?
The issue is there is a movement by Republicans to tie it to fast-tracked authority for the president with free trade agreements. And a lot of Democrats are saying no.
Meaning the government wants to expedite trade agreements that could cause more people to lose their jobs, and the gimme on it is that more people might get training if they lose their jobs.
That's right. So here's the big problem that I have. Do we really know, and do we really care whether a worker loses their job because of international competition, technological change, or deregulation? I mean, those three forces together account for a lot of the job turmoil. Now, why is it that someone's more deserving if they've lost their job to international competition than someone that's lost their job to technological change? Which, by the way, the technological change was probably driven by competition from overseas competitors. This is a little tiny Band-Aid in what is a much bigger issue about how do you create a safety net in an economy that has become hyper-competitive.
Commentator Chris Farrell is our economics correspondent in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Werzer with Minnesota Public Radio